I will provide now a background of our reading. I have never heard a sermon in my whole life on Lamentations. Have any one of you heard a sermon on Lamentations? Good. Then at least we understand each other. But actually this book is very, very interesting. The book of Lamentations is actually called in the Hebrew text, Ekah. And it's called Ekah because that's the first word that appears in this book. And it means where and how. And this describes the whole setting and the tone of this book. This book is compiled by a set of five separate poems that can also be sung. And each poem starts with a different letter from the Hebrew alphabet. The author, whom we can assume it was Jeremiah or someone who wrote on his behalf, is lamenting actually. Is writing a funeral eulogy of the dreadful situation of the Judean people. The setting of this book is the historical crisis of the people of Judea. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 587 BC by the Babylonians. They came and they destroyed the whole city. Not one stone remained together. They even went so far and they went up to the hill and they destroyed the temple. The place where the Judean people thought God lives. And the people that they did not kill, they took them into exile. And the speaker of this book is lamenting on this situation because he's not only a spectator, but he's also a victim. The survivors is humiliated. They are in desperate need for help. And these songs are like funeral hymns conveying their intense grief and mourning. And all the vocabulary, all the metaphors, describes this suffering in graphic details. I could not read this book after we suffered some dreadful situations in South Africa because it's really so graphic that it gets to your bones. He says, this once proud city is now like a widow, a queen that became a slave. Because these people never thought that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. These people thought they can do whatever they like. God will remain faithful. He will stay in his temple. So they can just sin. They can just go on worshipping all the idol gods. He will stay in his temple. But now the good life is over. This once fine temple is destroyed. He says, women have been ravished. Children cry for food. There's no one to comfort them. And this is the harsh reality that's being described. It's not denied. The grief is not muted or misrepresented. This is coming to terms of what really happened. And now the poet, the author, faces God on the behalf of all his people with this intense pain, affliction, and struggles. And he tells the people that they have sinned against God. They broke the covenant with God by not obeying his will. And everything happened to them because they did not listen to the warnings of the prophets. They neglected God as their only Savior. But he's also telling him another message. He says, despite all the suffering and the pain and the affliction, despite all the mourning, God is still in control and he loves them. And he tells them they have to hope in God. Because in the past, they've hoped on meaningless things. They've lost their way, but actually, actually, God is still available. Instead of having only one beacon that survives all time and every situation, namely God, they hoped and held on to meaningless and worthless beacons. And the poet is telling them, although they might think they are now without any beacons, although they might think that their horizons has been wiped away, God is still with them. He's still traveling with them. He is their only beacon of hope and love. And the basis for this hope, he says, is God's great love. And then it's very interesting when he uses this word of love, because he uses the Hebrew word chesed. And chesed can be translated by covenant love or royal love. It means faithfulness, loyalty, initiated by God, having a covenant with the people. It involves obligations of the whole family, friends, and the community. And then also, the hope is in God's unfailing compassions. Translations translated this with mercy. But the Hebrew word rachamim is a word that can be related to the woman's womb. So it describes actually the tender, the loving care a mother has for her unborn baby. Something that cannot be described in words. It is this very strong feelings of love and affection. And we know now, when we look back into history, this was not hope that was unfounded. They did not hope just because God answered their prayers. Because in the year 539, he allowed all the Judean exiles to return from Babylonia back to Jerusalem, and the Persians allowed them to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning, verse 24. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, or it can also mean inheritance or lot, and therefore I will wait for him. Therefore I will wait for him. The message is quite clear. The prophet said to the Judean people that they have lost their way because their beacons were wrong. They hoped on the things that do not matter at all, and they have deserted their true faith in their only and one only God. And this message made me think of the message of an old German fairy tale that you all might know, namely the story of Hansel and Gretel. And if you've forgotten the story, let me refresh your memory. Once upon a time, there lived a poor woodcutter with his second wife and his two children, Hansel and Gretel. And when they had no more food to eat, his second wife convinced him to take these children to the woods and abandon them because they would starve to death. The poor father had no other way. However, Hansel, being aware of this wicked plan of this stepmother, left a trail of pebbles, which helped them again the evening to find their way back to home. The stepmother, of course, was not pleased. She was quite angry, and she locked them up for the whole night, giving them only bread and water. And the next day, the woodcutter did the same thing, and Hansel used the breadcrumbs. And we all know, when the evening came and they had to return home, the birds have eaten all the breadcrumbs. So they were totally lost. And as they went through the wood, They came upon this cottage with nice sweeties. And as we all know, children and some of us, they just went for this house and they started to eat all this. But the wicked witch stayed inside. She lured them in. She caught him in a cage. And she fed him because she wanted to eat him later. You all know the story. They pushed her into the oven in the end. And yes, they returned home and everything was okay. But I think the message being, if you leave pebbles, no birds will eat it. And you will find your way. And I think that's also our message. We have choices as to where and who our beacons are. Sometimes our beacons can be breadcrumbs being eaten by birds. Metaphorically, the things that do not last, like riches, material things, and valuable possessions. If we use these as our beacons in life, to hold us together, to keep us traveling to heaven, we will get lost too. We will lose our way totally. And most of the time, we will be confused and scarred. Because we often think of these things as permanent and valuable assets to our lives. But oh dear, when the difficult times come, we are left with nothing. It's gone. Because when the real struggles come, these things are just passing and finite things of no help at all, meaning nothing at all. I mean, what do you do with your gold rings when you are ill? I mean, what do you do with all the houses and the cars you own when your child gets sick? I mean, what do you do with all your money when your wife or your husband leave you? What do you do when you yourself struggle? These things mean nothing. These things mean nothing when your whole life falls apart around you. These earthly things cannot give us eternal stability and peace. Yes, it can make us happy, only for a few minutes, seconds of peace, but not lasting hope. They are actually like breadcrumbs. They're available for all the birds to come and pick it up. But if we use pebbles, metaphorically the things that last, like our faith and trust in God, we will never ever get lost. But that's not to say we'll never experience suffering and struggles and despair. But if we struggle, if we cry out to God, because it's pebbles, God is available. He is the beacon that survives all time and any circumstances. Yes, when all things go wrong, God is there to hold on to. And yes, He will be the only light in a very dark place. He will be the only one who will speak to us, even when everyone else is ignoring us. And He will even be there when we feel to just jump over the cliffs of life, because life is hell. Even then, He will be there. He will be there when we feel, this is enough. I can't handle this. Even in that moment, God will not desert us. He will be there as long as we trust Him. As long as we say and cry out to Him, God, help me, He will be there as long as we seek Him, as long as He is our only beacon of hope. And how do we know this? We know this much more than the prophet in Lamentations, because you and I have seen God's chesed, His love. We have seen Him on the cross. We have seen what He has done for each one of us. Because you and I actually had to hang on that cross for all our sins. But God did it on our behalf. God went through hell to save us from going through hell. God gave us perspective on the road to the eternal life. The pebbles is all around us. There's no reason for us to be hopeless and in despair and being lost, because God gave us His Holy Spirit to guide us each step of the way. He even gave us His Bible as the best sat-nav on this earth. Because unlike the earthly sat-navs, who sometimes take you in different directions, God will never ever do that. He gave us His Holy Word, where He tells us exactly what He expects us to do as His followers on this earth. He even invites us, often and always, come to me with your problems. Come to me with your struggles. Come and speak to me. I am available. And yes, you and I have all the opportunity in the world to go on our knees and to tell God exactly how difficult life can be at times. May we go out of this church and never ever confuse the breadcrumbs of this world with the permanent pebbles, namely our hope in God. Amen. Our offerings are given for the ministry and mission of the church.